It's Guys Games of Beer.
Yay! Now we may be drinking tonight already, kids.
Yeah, it's happening.
And snacking and yeah. But snacking goes well with tonight's subject.
I think it does. We're talking about games that involve food, and this is an open topic. We have a creative crew here, okay? We've got some creative guys, okay? So I like to leave it open for them to interpret it how they like. It drives Larry fucking nuts. He chickened out. He's just like, no, fuck this. It's too broad.
They actually had to take him away in a straight jacket. It was kind of a scene. He lunged for Rob, almost got to him.
He tried to bite me.
Right? We managed to wrestle him on the ground. We put on
suppository.
His bite mask and his straight jacket.
I didn't need to put it in the suppository?
No.
Oh, damn.
I just did that for fun.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Hope you enjoyed that, Larry.
I needed it.
All right. So we are talking about computer games. Oh, any game. Any game. I'm sorry.
The game is wide open.
Console, portable.
Yep.
Or
board game.
Or whatever PC.
Shit, I would have done Chutes and Ladders.
Not really.
Candyland
would have been better. I'm sorry, that's why I was trying to think of.
Candyland is so... Well, alright.
There's candy.
Come on, it involves food.
Have you ever seen the Candyland adult version, by the way?
The what?
I mean, Candyland adult version?
Yes.
Yeah, candy.
It's,
I honestly did not know it actually exists.
I didn't tell
you. I made it up. I just totally...
Wait, no, you get it.
I totally made it up. Yeah, it's awesome that you knew it existed. I believe it exists.
I found out about that game the same year... One of the Gen Con sellers had a Redneck Life, and that our pieces were bottle caps. So I was like, I got to try this game.
Oh,
and then I saw that, and I'm like, of course.
Of course it exists.
of course. Somebody made it.
I am going to out of the camera there. There we go. That's better. Here, put that down between your legs.
Did you say between your legs?
No, I didn't just. It was right in the middle of the camera there. All right,
this is going to be a rough episode, I can tell you already.
We've been drinking a lot already. Who wants to go first?
Tyler. So I have another cheeky answer here, because you said it's vague, it's open to interpretation, so I decided my game has the best looking food.
Oh, okay.
That makes me hungry anytime I've played it, and it does have a function in the game. Monster Hunter.
You can cook.
You can cook.
No, the cats cook.
Okay, all right. But
they do give you boost to the game when you go hunting and everything, and you're hunting the monsters and eating them. But it has the best looking fucking food in any game I've ever played.
Damn.
It does.
Do an overview of Monster Hunter for anybody who has lived under a rock.
Their compilations of the videos online when they make the food stuff, everything's sizzling, looks nice, golden brown. Oh my god.
All right, explain Monster Hunter for those who may have, like Rob said, been living under a rock.
So I'm not a huge Monster Hunter fan. I have played a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like Travis and Graves are the huge Monster Hunter fans.
Hell yes.
The whole idea is literally you are a Monster Hunter. You go on missions to get different monsters and stuff. And it's all melee combat. Well, they do have some like ranged weapons, but it's not like machine guns and stuff. But you go and hunt monsters and get different like rewards for it and stuff. But before you go out, you actually can... select the different type of meal, and each meal will give you different bonuses and stuff like that, depending on which one you select. And that can affect with what type of weapon you use as your main and stuff like that. So you go out, hunt, you bring stuff back, and you eat monsters. There's literally one scene where in one of the videos where it's just a steak piece of meat like this big, and they're like...
well, that, and you don't let any of the monster really go to waste, because you take all the carcass for like weapons, armor, and everything.
Yeah,
and you eat what you don't reuse. Okay, that's kind of cool.
I mean, that's what I thought of.
No, it's important to the game story, because like you said, it gives you the energy for doing the hunts, and the fact they actually put time into it and said, "Hey, I'm gonna make this food look delicious."
It looks fucking delicious.
Okay, all right.
No, that's smart. I've only played
never
Monster Hunter stories.
One.
Because I'm a child, essentially.
All right, anybody else want to go next?
We'll go down the line, I guess.
All right, we'll go down the line.
I realize it's now getting pretty old now, so I thought it'd be a nice time to bring it back up. But in 2006, Burger King released a trilogy of games, that you could go buy between like November and Christmas time for Xbox 360.
I don't remember these.
They were, what, $4 a piece?
Yeah, the Xbox 360 and Xbox on both, on each disc. It was a 360 on one side. You flip the disc.
Flippable disc?
You flip the disc over.
Yep, and each one's a little bit different. They're all very simple. They're not amazing games.
Right.
What do you expect for $4? So one was called Pocket Bike Racer, which is pretty much a racing motorcycle game.
Yeah.
Sneak King, which is a... You sneak up and
I had that game.
With people hot delicious sandwiches, I guess. Something like
that. Ooh, that's what they're calling it nowadays.
Yeah, the hot delicious sandwich.
And then Big Bumpin', which is a bumper car type game.
That's really interesting.
Three type of games, but they all, I think they all feature the King.
It was on Xbox, as I recall, right?
Yeah.
And I think 360, the regular.
I forget if they're still using that same mascot,
the weird...
Solid.
I had
like
three of them.
Yeah,
they still use them.
I don't think they still use them.
Right.
I haven't seen him lately,
but they made it for.
He was very big for a while for the mascot.
So Burger King's trying to jump on the console wars.
Wow, weird. Weird.
I think they eventually made it to like Xbox Live later, but
I don't know about that.
I thought they were worth a fortune, but apparently they just give them away now.
Yeah, because there were so many of them. Probably,
I think I got mine for $5.
So they busted them out from concept to in the stores in 5 months.
Yeah, but that's not unrealistic for those games.
Oh, right. So, right, like, they were flash made.
Yeah.
So it was okay for $4, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, what do you want for $4? The fact that the discs were double-sided is a bit weird, though.
Dude, that was kind of neat. Actually, I was like, what the hell? And
360 on one side, Xbox, original Xbox on one side, 360
mine,
on the
I'm
other.
I'm almost sure mine had labels on it.
Mine had labels, I think.
So, yeah.
Maybe it was the 360.
Xbox. Well, yeah, maybe it was the 360 version that did that flip.
Wow.
And then the Xbox version.
I'd have to go look at mine again.
Yeah, that's weird. That is just weird. Yeah. All right, what do you got?
So coming in late in the early 2000s, Taco Bell jumped on this thing. And they had a Doom clone. It is called Taco Bell's Tasty Temple Challenge.
I was going to go Taco Hell, but continue.
Was a first-person shooter where players were the intrepid Indiana Jones Esquire adventurer named Baja Bill, who squirts hot sauce on the face of cobras and scorpions.
Looking at this. This is genius.
But elsewhere, Jumping Bean Jamboree was a breakout clone where you bounced a bean. While Moon Eater, you were an astronaut who jumps craters and blasts UFOs to collect bells on the surface of the moon. Hey, it's a kid's video game. I don't need it to make sense. Yeah, Taco Bell kind of jumped onto this whole thing.
They didn't do a bad job on that.
Kind of looking at the.
It looks like Doom.
It looks like Doom.
It's got modern, like, that step motion.
Bounce, yeah.
Kind of got that.
Right, and then
they gallop.
Still love the fact he's shooting hot sauce.
Which you don't see till later games, so.
That's what the kids are calling it now.
That's pretty impressive.
Because he couldn't be here, like, that one was for Larry.
Got a chalupa.
Okay, that one's for Larry. Wow, yeah. Larry, that is quite the choice.
So, okay, mine is very brief.
All right.
Hooters jumped on this.
Hooters
Racing.
Of course they did.
It was like, it was right behind. It was just racing. Man. It didn't have any meat to it. You just raced. And then when you hit a new state or finished, they cut to a little seventh guest, little video clip of the girls at that particular Hooters, like, welcome to Georgia, welcome to Kentucky. And that was it. That was just it.
Somebody got paid to go around to all the Hooters, probably, and record those.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jason and I, we played that game on a marathon one night.
Just to see all the state locations?
Just to see as much as we could. We couldn't take it anymore at a certain point and just got drunk and...
Yeah.
Pissed off the wives.
It was like, I saw that and I was like, Hooters, why? And then I was like, oh, well, this explains it.
Well, that again.
Hooters road trip.
Everybody else was doing it. You know, again, in the 90s and early 2000s, it was really, you know.
I still think Taco Bell was winning when they had a Godzilla with the talking dog and you squeeze it. Like, I had all five.
Whatever it takes. All right, well, I'm going to do an obvious one, because we bring it to every effing show, Pepsi Man. Pepsi so Man. That this game came out in Japan originally, and it was meant for what was it? Pepsi Crystal, which was their lemon flavored.
No, you can get it like as a regular.
Pepsi. Yeah, but this that
I love.
But
the
Pepsi
regular.
Man was originally used to advertise for that. So, and basically, the commercials came out first. The whole thing was developed in commercials first. The whole Pepsi Man thing, he run up to, you know, little Japanese people who are exhausted and give them a Pepsi Crystal. And so that ad campaign went on for a while. Then in 99, I don't know if it was a collaboration with Sony or whatever, but they came out with the actual game, Pepsi Man. I'm sure Pepsi loved it.
Is that the first Endless Runner?
I don't
that there ever was.
Think so. I don't have a note about that.
Because Endless Runners became big, like, on mobile devices in the...
Just after left and right, kind of.
Yeah, predates that, Endless Runner, by a lot.
But a rare fully branded console title. And that's true. This is fully branded. I mean, it's Pepsi from start to finish. They are literally running the commercials on the disc.
Oh, yeah.
The TV commercials that they had are running on the disc. Everything in the game is... That, I mean, for 99, it's just, it's not like, oh, hey, we put a little bit on there. It was fully branded. It was made by KID. I don't know who that's not the developer that doesn't sound familiar. Published by Sony, of course, because Sony, you know how they are with their product, man. Everything was published by them. People could develop for it, but had to go through Sony.
They learned their lesson.
Did it come out for the Viacom in Japan?
No, I think it was only on the Sony. Yeah, it was only on the PlayStation. Endless Runner action. There's a lot.
But a good one. It actually was a good one.
It was. Yeah. It really is. So yeah, basically again, it was their Pepsi's mascot. Pepsi Twist. I said Pepsi Crystal. It's Pepsi Twist.
What's Twist?
That was the lemon flavored variant of Pepsi.
Because Crystal was like
launching in Japan. That was the clear Pepsi.
I love Pepsi.
I did too.
That was so.
So original copies are rare and highly collectible today. So when you see a Pepsi Man out in the field that we're bringing it out, you know we always bring the coolest, rarest stuff out to shows.
That's true.
So, So, again, great game. And like you said, it just keep going. It's an Endless Runner. You can just play it. There's no, I'm going to complete this game. You can play it as long as you damn well please. It just keeps getting harder and more levels and everything else. It is literally... A non-ending game.
It's a pretty game too. I mean, like by PS1 standards.
Yeah,
it's a good looking game, and the controls aren't bad.
The controls are quite good actually.
Yeah.
So PS1 just kind of put everything to a shift and went, okay, we've had these cartridges. Now we're going and we're going to show you like what we can put on the disc.
And they did because there's a ton of cutscenes in this game.
And they're hilarious.
Again, a lot of them are the commercials, the whole nine yards, which is kind of cool too.
It's kind of fun to watch too. Like every once in a while at like a convention, you get somebody who really gets into it and they play the heck out of it. I play it occasionally, but I don't play it professionally or anything. These people really get into it and they start playing it and you can like see some pretty awesome stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really entertaining game to watch.
To watch.
It's an entertaining game to watch. Marketing campaign too.
It was. I mean,
so well done, Pepsi.
Yeah.
Well, Coke had
we
one,
actually,
and you had to shoot with soda bubbles. Pepsi, the logo, the products, and I was just like, what?
7-Up had a great game called Spot.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Like,
which
I
was another brilliant game. Again,
not the Go. Knockoff one.
No, not the knockoff one. Right, they are kind of like jump
platformer.
Which was absolutely brilliant. All right, so what do you got for us, Rob?
How do you like cake?
Ooh, I love cake.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you what. Bubble Bobble had cake, and Bubble Bobble had like all sorts of tasty foods to pick up.
It did.
And Bubble Bobble, they're actually used to have it up on the wall, but there was actually an Amiga game that I played before Bubble Bobble that was a collect-em-up, but Bubble Bobble was the first collect-em-up that I got absolutely obsessed with. Darlene and I played it to the end. It was just so much fun.
It made so much money.
It was well done.
Yeah, it played well.
That is good execution in a platformer, and it was a great game, and it had like all the... It was the first really popular collect-em-up. All you were doing is collecting. There was plenty of timers on it, So one of the great things about it, it's just a basic platformer. I mean, you killed the enemies and ended the level, but the enemies would drop things, right? They drop goodies, all sorts of different ones, although often food. However, if you did things in the right order or wiped them all out at one time with a bubble, you get like a huge drop. And, you know, sometimes it would be, it has to be a cake, people. But you would also get fruits and other things.
Yeah.
But the cake's what I want, or the donut.
So, like, didn't they make, like, 5 sequels and a franchise out of that thing?
That game was done.
Believe it or not, I really thought, you know what, the donut wasn't right. It was the, they did have donuts. Is that a later one that had donuts?
Could have been a later one that had donuts.
But still, it did have the watermelon too, which was really awesome when you saw it drop. It's pretty good stuff.
Why does it sound like mukbang?
Yeah, there's
a little mukbang going on.
A little mukbang.
I've never seen. So
which, by the way, I had to look up the definition of 2 weeks ago.
That only 2 weeks ago? The fact is, nobody asked. Nobody goes, "What's mukbang?" Because we all effing know.
I don't know.
What's that?
I don't know.
You really don't know what that thing is?
No, I don't think so.
I'll explain it off air.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
It's probably the best. Keep it back here.
Yeah. The problem is, like, I think it was last week or the week before I ran into it for, like, the 10th time. And I said, I know it involves food.
Yeah, yeah. And it's...
So I better go look.
It's really not pornographic. It just involves food.
It's just way too much food.
It's just weird.
It's way too much food.
It's just weird.
How much can you...
Yeah. Yeah.
How much can you shove?
Mm-hmm.
How much can you shove?
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised at it.
Yeah, again. What, are you a fucking chipmunk? Jesus, so for like, love of God!
So it's like Kobayashi, like, was he like the king of that? I mean, was that like actual, I don't know.
We're getting far afield.
So anyway, I absolutely, positively love that game. Still to this day.
One of those replayable games. It's just a great straight arcade play.
And if you got a friend to play with you, it's really fun as well.
It even made it, I think it made it to the 32 generation.
Oh, yeah.
They're still making it.
I know it made it, like, I think it made it to the N64. I'm not sure if it made it to the GameCube, but I know there was a Bubble Bobble in there.
Bubble Bobble is also one of the very few games that has 3 first sequels.
Really? Wow. Okay.
There's Rainbow Islands is the first sequel.
Oh, that was a good one.
There is Parasol Stars, which is the sequel to Bubble Bobble.
I did not know that.
There is also there's Bubble Bobble 2, which was on the Game Boy.
Okay.
There's multiples.
Yes, sure. Everything
on the Game Boy. Yeah, sure.
Again.
Even stuff that never should have
been. Yeah.
Oh my God, we gotta do that as a topic. It never should have been on the Game Boy.
Oh, I do like that idea for a topic, because there's a ton of those ones.
That's a good one, actually.
There are a ton of those games I could mention.
Mm.
All right.
Some games should not.
Wow, we got through that really fast. That's unusual for us.
No, we did all right.
We were very succinct tonight, kids.
There's like some people who are like, yeah, that's great.
I thought of going back earlier and as another. Not Pepsi Man, but Kool-Aid Man on the Intellivision.
Thank you! Atari
2600! Damn you!
Well, that as well. I have a stack of Intellivision inserts for Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, do you?
Why? I have no idea. like 30 of them. I think they were bought from the Boathouse that the Western publishing.
Yep. Box. That would make sense.
Dude, that was a great game for the Intellivision. That was a great game.
This goes back down to, so this kind of marketing's been going on since the early days of computers. I mean, really, if you think about it.
No marketing in Bubble Bobble, just to be straight.
No.
Nothing.
And then if you go back to Taco Bell, you got the Chex Quest.
There wasn't a big thing for Burger King, but that was a cult
classic. Being another.
Absolutely.
So that was a cult classic, but yours made several known sequels. We had one that went over and went, ta-da, sequel, and went, no, it's not as bad as E.T., and went, oh.
There were 3 sequels to
I don't know.
So I got a great story about, sorry, Darlene. I got a great story about Darlene and Burger Time. So my wife's dad got arrested for Burger Time.
Okay, this sounds. Yes, he did. Okay, all right. Seeing as we're talking about food and games, so, let's talk about this one.
I hope Darlene doesn't get too mad about it, but she probably won't. She'll probably think it's funny, and I think he thinks it's funny too. So Burger Time had just come out on the Atari 2600, right? And Darlene's, you know, family like calls. I think it was Zare. I might be wrong about that store.
Oh my God!
But they asked, "Do you have it?" Because they lived out a bit, and right. They drive out, right, about 45 minutes to go pick it up. And they go out there, and they had sold the copy that they said they were holding for him.
Ooh, okay. This would end badly.
You know, you've seen Darlene's dad, right?
Yeah.
So he's 6'100".
Yeah.
If he's angry, if he's friendly, he's not that tall. But if he's angry at you, yeah, he's pretty tall. It was terrifying the first time I met him.
Wow.
But he's a great guy. He's really nice. I say that because he'll kill me. No, I'm just kidding. He really is a nice guy. He's a nice guy. Nah, she can take it.
Yeah.
He went there and he got so mad because they went all the way out. He promised the kids he was going to get them Burger Time. And it ended up, he's big enough that like people just call the police.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people just call.
They call the police and ended up hauling them off. Over Burger Time. So I get it.
I do too, dude.
There's Burger Time.
Department stores sold video games.
Yeah.
Oh.
There was also an upgraded Super Burger Time. And then there was the one on the Switch.
All right.
Yeah, with the multiple levels.
Yeah, which is an arcade one. Oh, yeah, pretty good.
Switch made a...
Everything's on the Switch.
That's it.
I think if you learn anything from this show,
everything's on the Switch. Yeah. Literally everything is on the Switch.
If she'll give me Burger Time so I can play it on her Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Who's out there?
Somebody let Larry out. He got out of his...
Out of the case? I'm sorry.
We already talked about Larry's
shit.
Thing. Look, it's Larry! Just in time for the close.
He figured out how to get out.
No.
He's got time for a beer, I think.
He's got time for a beer. He's got time to do a show.
He had time for a beer,
right? Topic.
I did.
He covered you, but now you got to do something else. You don't have more than one.
I don't know what you talked about already.
He talked about the Taco Bell one.
Yeah, we like proxied you.
Oh, you guys, I thought you were talking generally food.
No, generally food. Yeah.
So
you got a food game.
That's fair.
Well, I have a number one.
Oh, all right.
And it's actually one of my favorite games. Like, probably my top 10 at all. Got well over 100 hours in it, and it's one of the best design games in my opinion at all.
I know.
I paid full price for it when it came out.
I know.
And I have no regrets.
Good for you.
Overcooked 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great game.
We saw it coming.
I saw that one coming.
He's going to pick too.
You know, it has so many levels. It is so great. You know, the cooperative element is a lot of fun. I was able to bring my wife in on that one because it's not like shoot 'em up and stuff like that. So it was a lot more
just
palatable.
As intense though.
It was a lot of fun. It does get very intense.
It does.
Sometimes we just have to quit. Like, okay, now we're just yelling at each other. They're gonna stop now.
Co-op, stop being co-op.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, you're just in my way. Oh, okay.
Damn.
Now we gotta stop, but we knew that.
I was just gonna say that sounds like a real kitchen. You're just in my way. Move out of the way.
Yeah, we would know. But sometimes we could save it. But usually it was like, okay, we just gotta quit for the day. And it usually was after like 2 hours of play. So you know there was going to be some tiredness that
because it's a physical game.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're just you are
mm-hmm.
moving to do that. So
you have to move the controllers too and everything.
Oh, that's not true.
No, you don't have to move the controllers or anything, but it's you know, you're still you're just processing a lot and you're processing a lot at a pretty quick speed. It's like, okay, so like for example, there'll be a level where the chefs cannot be near each other; they're blocked.
So much.
So
there's
have
so
to
much to that game.
Throw ingredients to the other side, and they have to catch it.
Oh.
And if they don't catch it, it just slows everything down, right?
So, no, so yeah. You gotta grab another tomato or something.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then they gotta like cut it up and stuff or whatever. But then you gotta put it together on your side, so then they gotta throw it back, you know. And you just move. So there's like one of them. This is I actually really like this. These levels, but there's like these camping levels where the ingredients are like at least one ingredient in each of our backpacks. So you have to go to the other person's backpack and get the stuff out, but they can't be moving while you do that. So you got to pull.
So you're waiting on there. It's on the back of them.
Yeah, stop
moving! I need to get the
right. You're like stop. Wait. Okay, all right, go. Because they got to do stuff too, you know. It's an intense.
So is this controller or like Oculus or?
No, it's
kind of top down.
PS4 is probably top down. Oh. PS4 is probably what it first came out on. It's also on Steam. Yeah. You know, so you can get it there and it works.
It's on Xbox.
It's on the Switch.
It's on the Switch.
It's a very popular game.
He got so excited about it, like with his hands. So like, I was like, dude, he's playing this on the Oculus.
I thought that one used the motion control.
No, I mean, do you move with it and stuff? You can't help but do that.
But I thought he used the move controllers.
Yeah, so I mean, you can't help but really do some of that. But it is just such a blast. The game is just we completed it. A couple times we played all the downloadable content, you know.
I want to file a disclaimer that Larry is a programmer.
Yeah.
So this making order out of chaos is like his jam. This is utterly like what he likes to do.
That's right. I want to get this all the way it should
that's
be.
That's genetic built in for him.
Yeah, it's just a lot of, and there's a lot of fun dynamics in the game. They designed some of them are like magic doors. So you go through a door and then you'll pop up somewhere over here, and you have to remember that pattern so you can be the fastest to get through where you need to get through. And you can throw like ingredients through doors so that we go to the next person. And then like first time we'll play a level, we're like, oh, we're just kind of figuring out the mechanics. And then we'll be like, okay, here's how we're gonna attack this one. So you have to get the meals out, right? And that are not all the same.
Right.
You know, so sometimes it's a cheeseburger, sometimes it's just a burger, sometimes it's a cheeseburger and lettuce, you know.
I want to point out that I'm terrible at this game.
So there is, terrible. Because I've seen somebody, when Jim has his big gather, I think Patrick was sitting there because he was like making motions with the controller. So I think there's an extension that it may work on the Oculus, but I know he was super stressed. And it was a cooking game, and I never understood. But that's probably because if it's on Steam.
We do own, because we like to cook out so overcook so much. We did buy a few other cooking games. Cookout is for the Oculus, and we do have it. And we've tried it. It just didn't feel as refined.
Okay. No.
You know, as and we had two Oculuses, so we could work together and it just didn't feel quite as refined as Overcooked is. It's just such a fun game. It does so many fun different dynamics. Sometimes it's a, what would it call, like a protect the castle type level where there's like monsters that are trying to break in and you have to like keep boarding it up so that they
this is the second one, right? Because the first one, it had neat stuff in it, but it didn't have that much crazy going on.
Oh, yeah. Some of the campfire ones where you got to, like, okay, you got to chop up the wood, then you got to start the fire. And then you have to, like, because you're gonna make s'mores, and so you got to put, like, the marshmallows on there, and then you got to add the chocolate. And
Jesus Christ.
It's a great game.
Hey, man, he's dedicated on that as you were on Bubble. Okay?
There you go. That's true. Okay.
So, so that passion.
No, I mean, he's a programmer. You got to remember, this guy, like, looks at shit. Yeah.
Well, right. Put that in order, man.
Yeah. Look, and he really digs.
Meanwhile, general IT is chaos.
It was chaos. You know, it was kind of like, I usually carried a bit of it, but the wife got pretty good at it, too. She don't do video games. So that was pretty cool.
All right, Rob.
Right, that is it for this episode of Guys, Games, and Beer.
Hey, we got something coming up, though.
We should probably push 2DCon at this point.
Yeah.
We will be at 2DCon. There is going to be... we've been given more room. So basically, you're going to get like the full G2B experience there. But there's more, right?
There is more.
Tell them about the
room. So last year, if you went to 2DCon, you got to hang out with Shirtless Saturday Larry in the Guys, Games, and Beer dive bar.
That was full immersion.
Oh, dude, that was so Wisconsin dive bar. There's some guy behind the bar. He doesn't have a shirt on. What the hell?
Wisconsin.
It's Wisconsin on a shirtless Saturday. So yeah. So if you thought that was cool,
This year it's Samurai Larry.
Sorry. You're not wrong. So for all those of you know, again, we were in Japan last year. Not even last year. It hasn't even been a year, has it? It was just last like December.
Yeah.
So it hasn't even been a year yet. We were in Japan. And we bought back all sorts of goodies. We were hanging out with the Lords, who are going to be live. Brian's going to be live. The Lords are going to be live at 2DCon. They're both doing sets.
Fair to middle of chance they'll be in our room.
You might see them once or twice.
Yeah.
They're but in honor of our trip to Japan and the Lords and being in Japan, we are bringing a little of Japan back to Minnesota in this case. Also, because Mel, you didn't come with us, we're bringing the freaking
chill.
Okay. Oh no! Because remember, Bryce and Mel were gonna go with, and we had the hold up, and then that all fell apart, didn't it, guys? So we're bringing the izakaya back for you guys this time. So we're gonna have an izakaya and ramen bar right off the streets of Japan, moved back here in Minneapolis.
That should be fun. Why course, can't you? The Lords are going to be playing.
2 months.
Wouldn't surprise me at all if Brian did a few sets of his music.
I have a mission to get him drunk again this
like that.
So we'll have a nice
I'm
going to
get people drunk.
Like Rob said.
Like next weekend, right?
The weekend after that. But that being said, this is kind of becoming like our MGC West.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's Rob about the same size at this point.
Yeah, we're doing a big room this year. I mean, we are bringing pretty much most of the stuff we bring other shows. So you're going to see a little of everything at this one.
I got to load up the Mazda.
I know. It's going to be a great show. So, guys, there are tickets still available. It's a three-day event. Actually, it's 4 days because they're doing like a pre-event on Thursday night, which we will be open for. We're setting up.
I will still be setting up probably when it opens.
It's entirely possible. But we will be there Thursday night for the pre-screening event.
So.
And then it's all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And wait till you see the layout this year, guys. The room is going to be amazing.